Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Right here on 960theref.com.
Episode number 78. It is the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen here on 960theref.com. Of course, maybe you've downloaded us on iTunes as well. I'm Chris Brain from the Home Team. David Johnston with me from the Morning Show. And we've got a couple big things we'll cover today as we record this. We are less than a week away from Georgia spring football practice getting cranked up. So a lot of excitement about that. The Georgia basketball season has now come to an end, so we'll do a little post-mortem there. That's interesting. It's the season was not a good one, but I feel like there is still excitement about the program moving forward in the next season, especially with one big-time recruit that Georgia was able to reel in. And as we're sitting here recording this, we're on the eve of the start of SEC baseball season getting cranked up, conference play on the way. And we'll talk a little Georgia baseball, too, as they get set to begin SEC play. But we'll go ahead and just start with Georgia basketball, Dave. The team losing in the SEC tournament to Missouri. It's one of the worst seasons Georgia's had. It's worst conference record since the 70s in the first year under Tom Crean. But there still is, I feel, there's a lot of excitement still and buzz going forward and moving into next season. And primarily it has to do with Anthony Edwards.
The transition this year was worse than I thought it was going to be. I remember in the preseason, hey, the Dogs are picked to finish 13th, and I thought, wow, that doesn't sound great. That's a little worse. And then as it turned out, it was exactly right. And I guess thanks to Vanderbilt having the worst season in the history of the SEC, right? 0-19.
Yeah, Jeff looked it up, and the last team that went winless in the SEC was Tech in the 50s.
It was 0 and what?
0 and I think he said maybe 14 or 16, so, but not 18. Yeah,
and now 19. Yeah, so 0-19. Honestly, that if we see that again in our lifetime, that would probably be bizarre, wouldn't you think? I mean, it's just as hard to go 0-19 as it is 19-0, you know, yeah. Like that kind of thing. So thank goodness for Vanderbilt's, you know, literally historically worst ever season in the history of the conference. This wasn't a good one for the Dogs, obviously. I didn't see 16-2 coming, but I also didn't see 2-16 coming. And Georgia played hard, but it was almost like after the Florida game and then losing Hammond. And I know Hammonds didn't play in the Florida game, but it was almost like, oh, we beat the Gators. And it was just like, there was nothing left in the tank. And I didn't realize until, I guess, did they say it on the broadcast that Georgia didn't lead at halftime of any game except for the Vandy game?
That was the last time they led at half was January 9th. In SEC play.
Because they were tied at the half with Texas.
Yeah.
So you have to go back to the Vandy game.
It was January 9th was their last halftime lead.
Yeah. So, and a lot of those halftime deficits were double-digit deficits, too. So there were just a lot of turnovers. It was a lot of bad starts and just a lot of not being able to get it going. And I get it. I mean, it was a transitional year, but it still felt like it was a little bit worse than I had expected. But it's done. It's not like anyone saying, all right, this was worse than we thought. We got to get a new basketball coach. There's nothing like that. I think everybody still feels confident in Coach Crean, but he's got to, you know, have a big offseason here. I mean, and hopefully Claxton comes back. The talk about him thinking about turning pro, I think, is a little bit weird.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I'm assuming he's back.
Yeah, I would think that all the draft folks tell him, he submits his name for like the analysis or whatever. It's like, come back for another year at least and see where you are. I get why he's intriguing too.
Yeah, he's 6'11".
Yeah, he can play several positions. He's long.
Yeah, he can handle the ball.
Yeah, yeah, I get all that. But at the same time, it's let's see what you do in your junior year, because your sophomore year was really very, very good. So with Hammonds and hopefully Claxton, and I don't know, with Harris, Crump, these other guys, and Ant-Man, there's at least a small nucleus to kind of build on for next year.
Yeah, I think another intriguing one of the guys who's actually already signed, too, that's kind of getting overlooked now because of Edwards, is that Jaquan Walton from, I guess he's from
Alabama.
Yeah, somewhere in Alabama. Yeah. But he had been once committed to Mississippi State. You know, Auburn wanted him, Bama wanted him, Florida wanted him. So he's a guy, you look at some of his other offers, and he's...
Yeah, he beat out SEC schools to get him, not smaller schools.
Right, and a one-time commitment to Ben Howland, too, and Mississippi State's going to be a tournament team this year. I guess on the, you know, so the plus side, really, it's come down to the future at least looks bright, because you've got this guy who is committed, who is the biggest kid that's ever committed to Georgia. As far as just his recruiting profile.
Yeah, just his profile of whatever he rates. He's Georgia's never had one like this.
Yeah, the different services, I've seen him one, I've seen him two, I've seen him three.
Right.
But he's basically a top three recruit nationally, the number one player in the state. Guys like that, we've just have grown used to going to play at Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. So he comes here. There's that that's a positive going forward. But, you know, on the other side of that, as far as how lousy the season was, you look at Ole Miss, Kermit Davis was in his first season there. They're going to be in the NCAA tournament. So even the first year of, well, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, but Ole Miss had a good season under a new head coach, too. So there's...
And you know what else about Kermit Davis? Middle Tennessee, I think, finished last in Conference USA.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good sign then.
That is like, okay, you know, that guy went from being good enough to get the Ole Miss job to seeing his former team
tank.
I don't know. They might have lost 18. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the story on Middle, but it is kind of interesting that his former team had a rough year, and the new team that he had definitely exceeded expectations. Not off topic, but he gets SEC Coach of the Year, right?
He did, yeah.
Yes. Will Wade is the SEC Coach of the Year if it's not for all this other stuff, right? There's no – I mean, how can you – I mean, if you take the other stuff off the table, he's the SEC Coach of the Year, is he not?
Probably, yeah. He would have to be. Now, I did – like, to be fair to Kermit Davis, they were picked to finish 14th.
Right.
And they're going to be in the tournament. So, you know, there's a case to be made for him, but I –
What was LSU picked to finish?
They were like 6th.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would have to believe that that Will Wade would have been named the coach of the year if he wasn't currently suspended
for
being on wiretaps.
I thought you would agree with that, but I just wanted to run that by you that I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, like Dale Brown's got to have a talk with him. Like Dale Brown would know, like, listen, I never spoke on anything that could be recorded.
Because you have a burner phone doesn't mean they can't record you from your burner phone.
Yeah. I mean, the idea, though, if you think like of an LSU coach that's in trouble because he was negotiating some deal for a player, and you're like, I'm sure Dale Brown never did that. But I'm sure Dale Brown was smart enough to know never do it on the phone.
Yeah. But just completely bizarre story. But I'm thinking it's so funny how Will Wade, to me, is like the – obvious SEC Coach of the Year, but Kermit Davis did do a very good job. But you know, the league's probably saying we can't have Will Wade be the SEC Coach of the Year. The guy's suspended, and he's probably more than likely not going to coach for them again.
And even if the league got back the survey, and I guess you couldn't vote for yourself, so even if 13 of the coaches had voted for Will Wade, somebody in the league office would have just had to say like, no. Nope.
I know.
Well, Kermit Davis got that one vote, so
that's
who we'll go with instead. But so with Tom Crean, if you look at his first couple years at Indiana, they went 1-17 in the Big Ten and 6-25 overall. They won 4 games the next year and 3 the year after that, and then they ended up winning a couple conference titles and playing in a few Sweet 16s. But that's Indiana. They've won the Big Ten before. They've won national championships before. This is Georgia. We haven't done stuff like that.
Don't you think, and you mentioned Marquette, you mentioned Indiana, And I totally agree with it's interesting that he's it seems like he's not afraid to tear it down and build it back up. That's what the records look like from his previous head coaching jobs.
Right.
And this seems to fit the MO. Maybe it's not the exact same thing, but with where he's been before, he has started low and built up.
I think with a core, though, where you've got Hammonds, again, talking about Claxton, I'm going to assume Claxton is coming back, and then adding Edwards as a freshman. Georgia's still going to have to find, right now, what, a point guard for next year and maybe some more muscle in the post?
Yeah.
You probably have to look in the transfer portal. I don't know how they're going to do that, but there are, still a couple of holes to fill. But just between Hammonds, Claxton, and Edwards, I mean, this is a team that should at least elevate. Somewhere at the worst in the middle of the pack of the conference next year, though,
I would
not
think
be
so
sitting
too.
At from Indiana, go from one win to four wins.
But think of also all the other schools that are having success right now. Ben Hallen at Mississippi State, Bruce Pearl at Auburn, Rick Barnes at Tennessee, they all got off to rocky starts when they took over in the conference as well.
Yeah.
So they were in the same boat that it feels like Georgia is now. That's why I'm not getting all crazy about this 2-16 conference record.
Right. It's just a matter of how long do you wait? Because last year was Barnes' third year, and they shared the SEC title with Auburn, which was Pearl's fourth year there last year. Frank Martin, if you want to throw him in there too, they had some lean years. But oddly enough, they've only been to one tournament with him, but they went to the Final Four the one time
they cashed in.
They got there. And they're not going this year.
Greenville.
They're not going this year either.
Yeah, the thing about them is, they've got to win, even though they're the 4 seed, they got to win the SEC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I was looking at the odds to win the SEC tournament a couple of days ago, and Auburn was 5-1, and who Auburn would play if they win, and we're recording this, maybe they have. By the time you're listening to this, maybe they have, they haven't, but they'd be playing South Carolina. South Carolina was 40-1.
Yeah.
As the team sitting with the double bye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they beat Auburn during the regular season.
They did.
So,
I know,
That
was one of the wackiest years in the conference. But, yeah, and then Hallen was, I guess this is his fourth year there, and they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. So, there were lean years early, although none as lean as this. But it's not like Barnes showed up at Tennessee and they were immediately great. But it wasn't that long either. It was 2-3 years, and they got it rolling again. So, like I said, I think for next year, I don't think it's an NCAA tournament or bust type season for Georgia, but I think this is a team that, when you just look at those three guys and bringing in a high profile recruit like Edwards, that should at least be able to elevate to the middle of the pack in the SEC.
And if you are now in the middle of the pack in the SEC, you're at least in the conversation of an NCAA tournament bid.
Yeah. I think it looks like the league's going to get 7 teams in this year. There's the obvious ones that, between Kentucky, Tennessee, and
LSU.
LSU. I think Auburn's in.
I think Mississippi State's in. And then I think, Ole Miss is potentially in.
Ole Miss is in, and Florida's going to be an interesting case.
They have got to beat Arkansas. I know this is being recorded right when this game is tipping off, but if they don't beat Arkansas, they're going to the NIT.
They're probably out.
Yeah.
Because they've got one bad
horrible loss
in there late in the year.
And they played and they had a chance last week with LSU and Kentucky to notch a good win, and they couldn't
either
of those games.
But that's the thing with Georgia's season, too, that has been kind of strange how it unfolded, is that after that first Ole Miss loss, when Tom Green made the post-game comments, he was upset and ended up walking them back. That was one of those points of the year where you think, this could really go sideways now if the if the players kind of give up. But at that point, Georgia ended up playing its best basketball of the season with those close losses leading up to that win at Florida. But they followed that up by playing, really, the last three games have been the worst the team has played all year. Mm-hmm. Scored 39 points against Missouri, and then, 46 in that loss to South Carolina, and then the game the other night against Missouri again in the SEC tournament wasn't great either. So, the beginning of the year, there were ugly losses, but Georgia was playing Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, and LSU right out the bat. The schedule was brutal, but so they started to play well toward the end of the year and still fighting hard, and then won at Florida, and then closed out, though, with just the really the worst of the year.
Like I said earlier, it was like they beat Florida, and then that was just –
that was good enough.
That was it. You know, they'd been busting it for several weeks, and they finally got over the hump there against Florida, and just there was just nothing left.
All right, before we take a quick little break, yeah. Look ahead to next season. What's your mandatory expectation then for
for what we know?
Right.
That's the thing. There might be some attrition other than seniors. So if there is, that could take the wind out of the sails. But at least 500 in the conference, right?
I'm right there with you, yeah.
That's my expectation for next year.
Yeah. The non-conference, I don't know. They play they're going to Maui, which always
right.
has a good field.
Yeah.
So let's be honest, a young team going out west early on in the year, they could take a couple of losses there for sure. I don't know what the rest of it's going to end up looking like, but once they get into SEC play, yeah, let's 9-9. Come on.
We've got to win more conference games than Georgia State because Georgia won two conference games this year, and Georgia State won two SEC games this year. They beat us in Alabama.
They beat us bad.
I know. So they've that really. When we were over at Georgia State for baseball last night, they. I mean, it wasn't like mockingly, but that was brought up that they had won as many SEC games as Georgia had. Like, yeah,
well, it is true.
You did.
Like
so,
but, Tech has to own that, too. Georgia State's the best basketball program in the state.
They are. I totally agree. So, yeah, I think our expectations are the same. Not Final Four, not Sweet 16, but at least be in the postseason conversation, whether it's NIT or NCAA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, it's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen and Watkinsville. Chris Brame, David Johnston with you. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk some spring football and a baseball mention, too, as the Dogs
big
get set
deal.
To –
weird, interesting baseball news that Coach Strickland broke for us this morning.
Yeah.
We'll mention it on the other side.
And I mentioned that, too, which could maybe help the early portion of the schedule
yes.
before league play starts. Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. Here on 960theref.com.
Friends and family piled around the table, sharing big cheesy slices of pizza, golden baked calzones and strombolis, platefuls of zesty lasagna. It's not Nana's Kitchen in Southern Italy. It's Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. At Fully Loaded, you'll find all these Italian favorites like wings, salads, and hoagies. A full bar and patio, too. Family dinner, date night, or hanging out with friends. Get more out of it at Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in the Manners Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
The Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen here on 960theref.com. A reminder, too, if you want to be a part of the festivities here, email us a Fully Loaded Question of the Week. Just send it in to 960theref@coxradio.com.
You got it.
If we pick your question during the week and read it and answer it here during the Crossover Podcast, we'll give you a gift card to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. It's that simple. All you have to do is type something and hit send. And you'll win some free pizza from Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Spring football now less than a week away. And I feel like with this spring, it's we're kind of entering, like the team really doesn't have, what's the biggest question the team has? It's really, is spring even going to be exciting this year, Dave?
My biggest question is not really a question, and it's not something that you can actually like hold or, actually see. But it is a thing, and I don't think it's a bad thing, but it's just this spring will be important for replacing the coaches. We've got a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator. And, good teams go through this, so that's not anything new. But you do want to have a good spring in the sense of how the defense is run and how the offense is run and how Coach Coley does and how Dan Lanning does. I'm just saying – it's not anything we can actually see. It's not anything we would notice, but I know it's important for Kirby and the coaching staff and everybody else over there to know their roles and know what they're going to be doing going into the season. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think it's the coaching stuff is as big as anything, but that's not something we can actually see or you know, feel or anything like that. I know it sounds kind of weird to say that. And I think they'll be fine, but I think that's a big deal for the coaches and for the program is to have all that stuff in place and know where they're headed when the Vandy game rolls around.
And assume that the overall philosophies of both sides are going to stay pretty much the same because Georgia promoted from within. Although, according to Eddie Grant, James Coley was our second choice.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, still, he was here. I don't think we're going to the offense is really going to look different. The defense isn't going to look different. They've got their the core things that they want to do, and I think those are going to pretty much stay the same. But from I just think of, like, years past where we've had between you know, there was Murray and Mettenberger, then there was Fromm and Eason, then there was Fromm and Fields. We've had these, you know, these quarterback battles or whatever, but now it's just – you know, there's Mathis and there's Stet the Jet.
Yeah.
You know, but the backups are just getting a chance to see them.
And, I mean, I assume that's what G-Day is going to be. It's going to be Team Stetson and Team Dwan for the most part. I mean, Fromm's going to play some. But by the fourth quarter, there's going to be two guys playing quarterback that don't know their names, or there might be, we've seen this too, where one guy ends up playing quarterback on both sides. You know, that's what we're dealing with for quarterback this spring, and I'm good with that.
Well, I think both of them really need to get tested against the first team defense, because one of them, and I guess right now the early line would be on Stetson Bennett being our backup quarterback.
Right.
But really, I mean, what do we know about Stetson Bennett other than he's been a you know, this mythical practice squad phenom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but beyond that, I mean, we really don't have any idea if he really did have to come in and play quarterback in an SEC game, what that would look like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need to kind of see him against our first team defense and, like, well, how's he going to handle that?
And then even in that situation, they know that you're not going after the quarterback 100% like you would be in a regular game, too.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about getting sacked.
That's right. So even in that situation, the pocket's closing or he wants to roll out, he knows he's not going to get annihilated. So it's still not quite the same thing there. I know you can't completely simulate a regular season game, but I agree with you. How is he going to do against the ones?
Yeah, I mean, right.
He's the backup. I mean, there's Dwan Mathis, but Bennett's the backup.
Yeah, I mean, we really need to see how that would how that would go. Because right now, I mean, the thought would be that, I mean, Jake Fromm might be, like, the most important player on any team in the country as far as needing him to take, like, every snap.
Well, what's the situation at Bama? What's the situation at Clemson?
Well, you know, Bama doesn't have they don't have Hurts anymore.
Right. What's the situation at Oklahoma? Speaking of Hurts, what's the situation at Ohio State? I mean, I guess at least Clemson has I guess Bryce is their backup, but, you know, all these schools that everyone's predicting to be in the playoff are hinging on their quarterback staying healthy.
Yeah. Well, Tua, who was banged up last year, I guess now they've got Tua.
That's
right. Have his brother.
That's right.
But, like, that's the thing with Stetson Bennett is, I guess he's a scholarship guy now, but he's a former walk-on who went and threw, like, 14 interceptions last year in junior college.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that looks like an alarming number for a JUCO quarterback. I guess, you know, you don't know all the story behind each interception, where tip passes, guys running the wrong way. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
But it still seems like a high number, so I don't know what to think of that. But it just seems to me like, yes, we're in that situation with Fromm that I think several of these other programs that are trying to get to the playoff are also in the same boat.
No hunting, no fishing.
No boating.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was boating last year, too.
Yeah, he got something.
It was he got stuck with a fishing line.
Yeah. So basically, go live in a plastic bubble all summer long.
Yeah. Do not have fun like everyone else does when they're on summer break.
When you think of that, are you thinking Travolta or are you thinking Seinfeld?
Of which one?
Of the plastic bubble or
Oh, I always think of Seinfeld, the bubble boy.
The bubble boy.
Yeah.
But, you know, the old John, the boy in the plastic bubble, you know, Travolta, I think, was in that, too. So that's what we need Jake Fromm to be.
Yeah. Just, I mean, I'll get him a suit of armor. He can just walk around in that so nothing happens
whatever
to him.
Whatever it takes.
But, like, I mean, George is the, I, when you think about the running backs right now, we might just throw the ball all spring because we don't need to see Swift run. I think Cook didn't he have some surgery during the offseason, so he's probably not. I guess McIntosh isn't here. We know Zamir White's not going to be ready for the spring. I mean, Harrigan, I guess, could be, but
I think we know what he can do.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So
just throw every play.
Yeah. We don't need running backs during spring, but that's the key is like Mathis and Bennett and seeing what those guys could do and trying to settle some wide receiver rotation too.
A lot of Prather Hudson, a lot of
Jeff was saying he heard he was hurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe no Prather Hudson either.
But which, by the way, I love those guys. I know they don't get the fanfare, but this is going back to Bennett. They're very, very, very important.
Well, isn't he the one who ran over Laura Rutledge?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prather Hudson, not Bennett.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. Prather Hudson.
And then hit her up to try to like date her, but she's married.
She's married. That was funny. But those guys I'll never forget Boss Bailey telling me one time, he's like, I'll tell you what, those guys, they're not important on Saturday, but they're important on Tuesday and Wednesday. And I think everybody should appreciate that, too.
Well, and that's where the legend of Stetson Bennett has come
from.
Was him,
you talk to the players, they think he's as valuable for their success in 2017 is Sony and Chubb.
Yeah, the way he mimicked Baker Mayfield leading to the Rose Bowl. And
I get it.
I guess Tech's quarterbacks, too, and being able to do all of that. So, Georgia's solid on the offensive line. Yeah, there's got to be some rotation at receiver that'll get sorted, but Georgia hadn't been recruiting at the level it's been recruiting for us to really worry a whole lot about, Mecole left, Ridley left, Terry Godwin was a senior. Like, we'll be fine. We got good players there. The secondary might be the one spot that after J.R. Reed could get a little, have some question marks, but any name we throw out there was like a high 4-star, 5-star recruit. So there's
Tyson Campbell got, he was basically, he had to learn under fire.
Yeah.
We see, Devon Wilson come out and play in the Sugar Bowl. We see like a guy like Eric Stokes who can make some just great plays.
Yeah, who ended up only taking over for Campbell after a couple of games during the season. We know is we don't have half the field locked down anymore because
Baker's gone. But one of these guys might be DeAndre.
Yeah.
Might be the next one.
Like, I don't want to turn into an Alabama fan, but there is a part of me this is why Georgia's been recruiting at the level it's been recruiting, is you're going to lose great players. But the point is you recruit at a high level so that, Baker's gone, but there's some high 4-star, 5-star recruit that maybe doesn't have the experience yet but is going to end up filling those shoes. So it's not as much of a sweat. It might be an unknown right now, but I'm like, in the end of the day, like, we'll be all right there.
If you were taking off your red and black glasses, and yours aren't as red and black as some of ours, literally on the schedule next year, I know it's a tougher schedule than we had this year, but – like, how many games on the schedule would you call a toss-up if you weren't a Georgia fan and you weren't Jeff getting nervous over Tech? But if, how many toss-ups would you just say, looking at the schedule, are there? Do you think Tennessee is a toss-up?
No.
Do you think Florida's a toss-up?
Based on what we've done to them the last 2 years, no, but I'm still not I'm still not at the point where I'm ready to commit to, we're going to Jacksonville and winning.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn over there, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
A&M comes here. That, do you consider that a toss-up?
No. To me, the biggest issue with the schedule is just it is tougher. The fact that you got 5 tough November games. We got 2 straight opponents, Missouri and Auburn, that play us off byes. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing about that Auburn.
There's
game.
That aspect of scheduling too.
South Carolina's got a bye before they play us too. But
will Georgia be favored? Yes, we are on the team. Will the Dogs be favored in every game this year?
Yes,
I think they will too. And the only one I think they like, depending on how the seasons go, would be Auburn.
On the road. Yeah.
Auburn on the road.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think they'll be favored in every game.
Yes.
That doesn't mean
they'll
win every game.
No.
But
every single game has a higher probability of victory than loss.
Exactly. But what the recruiting is showing us here and what we're going to see here over the next couple of years And if Georgia continue, and it sounds like the 2020 class is going to be, again, a number one or two class in the country, that instead of having to say, oh, the Kentucky game, that's going to be a tough one this year, or the, you know, what you would consider one you wouldn't even have to think about, at least you have now taken this program to the level where, okay, you're sweating the Auburn game on the road. Maybe Florida.
But there aren't as many trap
games.
There
aren't as many trap games or games that you would call a toss-up.
No.
There's less and less of those.
Now, we're going to smoke Notre Dame.
Okay, I didn't even think about Notre Dame. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're holding them accountable for not being in the playoff last year.
That is correct. So we are ticked off about that one. And by the way, if both of those teams aren't – here's my only concern about Notre Dame is that probably game day will be here that weekend.
Oh, it will be.
And I don't know. Maybe the game day curse isn't what it used to be. I don't know. I haven't gone back to look. But it just seems like the home team always has a little bit of a struggle sometimes with game day. But you know what? I'm not even going to worry about that. Georgia's recruited to the level of even that kind of stuff. They're going to be far more talented than Notre Dame is. And, well, I don't know about far more, but they're going to be more talented than Notre Dame playing in Athens, maybe at night, maybe on sea. I don't know. But this will, all right, here's a prediction. Will Georgia be a double-digit favorite when that game kicks off?
Yes. I think at least 10 points.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah, at least 10.
I think so, too. So if you're a 10-point favorite, and I know our man T always loved the underdog when it was 10, but if you're a 10-point favorite, you got to go take care of business.
And they will, yeah. And yes. I think this team now is, these players have been programmed to the point that all of the distractions that usually come with game day won't be. They won't get caught up in all that hysteria. But I think that's definitely here, because I was actually was talking to David Pollack not long ago,
yeah,
and he was mentioning, you know, like, he has an easy job, obviously. It's a good job. Mm-hmm. But the travel isn't, you know, when you're like spending a weekend in Pullman, Washington,
yeah,
it's not all that sexy. And
I
mentioned we were going to at least get one home game next year. And he actually threw out there two because he thinks the A&M game might be strong.
Because
they've been here, but not as a member of the SEC.
Not as a member of the SEC. And that game, I think, even though I've never really heard anyone say this, that game is being played because TV needs a big game that week.
Well, yeah. Last year they had Missouri and Tennessee.
Yes.
CBS
yeah.
did.
Yeah. How did that go for them? Not well.
Right. So here's Georgia.
Yeah.
Being the good guy again. Taking one for the league.
Yeah.
All right. Before we wrap things up, a quick baseball mention. The Georgia baseball team off to a good start from a record perspective. They're opening up conference play at South Carolina. But here's my question, Dave. The strength of schedule's 244.
Yep.
14 of the 17 games have been played against teams with an RPI of 151 or more.
Right.
Do we really know anything about this team at this point?
Well, that's a great question. And you would look at the statistics and say they're going to come back more to the norm. I don't think there's any doubt about that when conference play starts. But 2-3 years ago, a schedule like that, we wouldn't be 15-2 winning most of the games easily. We might be 9-8 or 10-7 with some close games.
Right.
So I think we know that the talent is definitely better. And we saw that last year. And with Emerson Hancock as your Friday night guy, you feel really good about him. Tony Losey is your Sunday guy, you feel really good about him. Is this team as good as like 15-2 with what you said? I guess what I take out of it is that most of the 15 wins have been what we would call easy wins.
To their benefit,
they didn't scrape to get to 15-2.
Georgia is tied for fifth in the country in scoring margin.
Right,
their average victory is 5.2 runs per game,
and that's a great stat because if that were a lot lower, you might be a little bit more worried.
Right, with the strength of schedule.
The thing is, the SEC, at least right now, looks very, very tough. I think as we talk, 11 of the 14 teams are either ranked or have been ranked so far this year. So there's a large number of SEC teams that are off to great starts. What I'm a little worried about with conference play starting is Georgia has to go to South Carolina and then LSU comes here next weekend. So you've got two really tough perennial power teams that you've got to deal with. And then after that, it's a road trip to Kentucky, and they've been better over the last few years, obviously. And then Vandy comes here. So you don't want to get buried on the schedule.
Well, and that's the thing. Georgia hadn't seen pitching, hitting, fielding,
right,
anything like they're going to see over the next couple of weeks. Because whoever made this year's schedule should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, that's a bad schedule to play 17 games, and not only – Georgia and Missouri are the only two teams in the league that haven't played a team in the top 50 of the RPI right now. And they're like, come on, we're Georgia in the SEC.
Yeah.
It's just your schedule shouldn't be that bad.
The Georgia Southern series, I guess, is the toughest one.
Yeah, and their RPI is like 61.
Right, right. And, you know, that was a good one. That's the kind of stuff, you know, go on the road in a hostile environment. That's the kind of stuff you want to do in the preseason. I guess this is the stream of thought is like, all right, you play a very tough schedule with having to replace some key players, you lose confidence. But if you play an easier schedule, you get confidence. I mean, you can look at both sides of that. But as far as, yeah, what we've seen so far this year, we'll find out here soon enough if Georgia's going to be prepared for what they're going to see in the conference, because the conference schedule is brutal. Which, by the way, reminds me, Coach Strickland dropped a pretty good scheduling bomb on our morning show.
Is it going to get better?
So, you know how we're always envious that South Carolina and Clemson play their three games all on the same weekend, and they'll play one game in Columbia, they'll play one game at Clemson, and they'll play one game at Fuller Field in Greenville.
Yeah, I like that model.
I'm glad to hear you like that, because Georgia and Tech next year are going to do that. So I believe Coach said, now don't hold me to this, I believe he said it was the third weekend of the season. And he didn't say where, like Friday is either going to be in Athens or in Atlanta. Sunday is either going to be in Athens or Atlanta. And the Saturday game is going to be at SunTrust Park.
Okay.
So we're going to play Tech next year in three games, but it's all going to be in one weekend before conference play starts.
I
think
that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because that's going to spice up the non-conference portion of the schedule before the season starts, and also give you a chance to throw your best pitchers against each other instead of in those midweek games.
Exactly. Yeah. So you'll get to see frontline pitchers from Tech and get to make kind of the little tour here of Northeast Georgia and the Atlanta area. I love it. I think it's great. I'm glad that they're doing that. And the other thing, too, as well, you can have really good weather at the beginning of March. I mean, you could have bad weather too, but if you miss a game, you've got the rest of the season to try to reschedule.
Yeah.
So you have more of a window to try to reschedule too.
I like that. That's I'm glad they finally came around and did that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be better for that series.
So anyway, big stuff there from Coach Strickland.
All right, don't forget, you want to be a part of the Crossover Podcast? You can. Just email your fully loaded question of the week to 960theref@coxradio.com. If we use yours, we'll give you a fully loaded Pizza Kitchen gift card. It's that easy.
Do we get one of those?
No,
I'll just come up with the question and take the pizza for myself.
Yeah, just be anonymous. Oh, look, from anonymous.
From anonymous.
But that's all you got to do is type a question and hit send. It's that simple. So do that. And if we pick your question, you'll be the weekly winner, and we'll give you that fully loaded Pizza Kitchen gift card in Watkinsville. And thanks a lot for tuning in today. We'll be back again next week with another edition of the Crossover Podcast. As always, you can subscribe on iTunes or just visit our website, 960theref.com, and listen to us there on demand. For David Johnston, I'm Chris Brame. The Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville on 960theref.com.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.